Hi everyone, I'm Allie Grayman. I'm an OCD recovery coach. Today I wanted to answer questions about tracking rumination and compulsions. Before I get into the questions, I just wanted to go over some of the basics of what we're talking about when we're tracking and what does it mean to track the time for OCD. So, when you have OCD, you either have a lot of rumination, a lot of compulsions, or sometimes both, 50-50. You need to reduce it. You have to first understand, and this is something so simplistic, but I think at our core, when we're suffering with OCD, and if you don't know, I've had severe OCD before I recovered, that when we are in the middle of it, we know that we need to reduce rumination. We know that we need to reduce compulsions. But that understanding that, no, I really need to reduce because otherwise I can't recover. You can't recover from OCD and keep your compulsions and keep your rumination. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a very kind of basic understanding that in the moment we don't really have a grasp on. So your rumination for you to recover needs to go down to zero. Your compulsions that you are doing need to go down to zero. And a lot of the times when you say that to people, people will say, well, but I'm ruminating all day, or I'm doing compulsions all day. How do I get a handle on it? And the way to get a handle on it is to do this tracking. So the big thing with the tracking is it's not supposed to be just a log. If we take it and compare it to a diet, who's gonna lose weight faster? A person who is counting every calorie and is conscious of what they're eating, or a person who is like, well, I'm on a diet, right? This is why we're doing the tracking. If you say, just like comparing to a diet, right? If you say, log, ate a bag of cookies, that's going to do zero. Tomorrow's log, another bag of cookies. And I see this from time to time where a person kind of gets into the mode of logging rather than reducing. So this is the number one. I probably should make a separate video on this. And I think I've probably made one in the past. I make so many videos, but this is the number one mistake people fall into, is it becomes a log. It needs to be daily reduction. Look at it this way. If you take all of your rumination, say you're saying, I'm ruminating all day, 180 minutes out of 180 minutes each time period. So each 3 hour time period. Okay, can you, for each 3 hour time period, we break the day down into 3 hour time periods. The reason being is just it's easier to get a handle on it that way. So for each 3 hour time period, instead of ruminating 180 minutes, can you ruminate 170, meaning that you need to have 10 minutes clear of rumination no matter what? So to do that, make a phone call, do something where you're not allowing yourself to ruminate. Start a conversation, not about OCD, right? Put yourself in a position where it's very difficult for you to ruminate for 10 minutes. Get a grasp on that for a day or two, then reduce, right? Now do 20 minutes each 3 hour time period. Ideally, if you do a 10 minute reduction each day, for each time period. So the goal of the day, right? You have to have goals with this. You, again, cannot become a log. So day one log is 170 minutes max. Day two goal, 160 minute max. Day three goal, 150. If you just reduce by 10 minutes, listen carefully. If you reduce by 10 minutes each day, it will take you 18 days to go from 180 minutes each time period, so worst as it can get, to zero. 18 days. You might have to really kind of suffer and power through these 18 days. I'm not saying they're going to be easy. They're not going to be easy, but it's 18 days. Just hold on and push through this time. You know what I mean? I've been there. I've had severe OCD, and I'm telling you, the reason why I drone on and on about this tracking is because I see it working with client after client after client, and even with clients who come to me in very severe states, who have been to therapists after therapists, you know, for decades. I see it working with them. So I know that it will work with you, but this is where the accountability comes in, that you need to be accountable and you need to be always reducing the rumination time. So with the time tracking, that's the only way it can really stall. I don't think it would fail, because eventually, even by you reducing here and there, and keeping accountable in the tracking, even like in the log, it would still over time work, but it would be really slowly if you're not looking back at yesterday's time. So it has to be like, oh, what was my time yesterday that I had to achieve? Yesterday was 160, today has to be 150. So now I'm going to go to the question. The reason why I wanted to kind of give you an overview, in case you don't know anything about this tracking method, which is my own personal method, I kind of wanted to bring you up to speed in general sense, and now we're going to answer questions in specifics. So first question. Hi, Ali. I want to start tracking time, but I feel like I don't fully know how long I ruminate for. Can the time tracking be an estimation, or should we know exactly how long rumination lasts for? Also, I just started your videos last week, and I can tell you that they are really helping me. Thank you for making so many videos. Really appreciate it. You are very welcome. I'm happy to help. In terms of the time tracking, very good question. So time tracking cannot become an obsession. A lot of the times, people who have OCD have perfectionism situations, let's call it. And this is not a perfectionism issue. It's an estimate. So the way I want you to do this is to say, so I ruminated 10 minutes. So between, so you wake up to 9 a.m. So you wake up, you go about your day, 9 a.m., you're like, how long did I ruminate? Oh, it was maybe 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, then it was another 10 minutes. Okay, so 20 minutes. Boom, put down 20 minutes, continue with your day. So somewhat accurate, but also, of course, an estimate, right? We're not looking for perfectionism here. If you, say, are constantly overshooting or undershooting the time, it doesn't really matter, because you are going to do whatever you did with today's tracking, you're probably going to do with tomorrow's tracking. So the progression, you will still see the progression, whether it's increasing or reducing, because we want to reduce rumination. Also, I was talking about rumination, but you're doing the exact same thing for compulsions. So how many compulsions did you do every 3-hour period, and then gradually reducing? Hi, Ali. Could you tell how to track the time if there's several themes of OCD or even several types of OCD? To track all of them together as one? Thank you. Yes, very important question. Track them all together. Even, you know, you can even lump in real life stuff, because I really suggest that post-recovery, as I say, when you get out of the OCD house, also get off the OCD territory, meaning that once you got over your main obsession, your real life, reacting too much to things, being too sensitive to things, also needs to be reduced, in my opinion. You don't have to, but in my opinion, it does, because that's kind of a stepping stone to getting back to OCD. So you gotta bring that sensitivity down. And the only way to bring it down is, again, lower importance, reduce reaction to everyday life stuff. With everyday life stuff, the game, and this is what I call OCD, it's all a game, a sick game that your brain is playing with you. You gotta get good at the game. So with real life stuff, the way you play that game is, it might not be zero. Say something happened, maybe something traumatic happened, or something is in the process, or you're anticipating something. Doesn't matter if it's bad or good, right? Ask yourself, ideally, how much would I want to think about this per day? And then maybe the answer is like 20 minutes. Okay, then 20 minutes is the max time. Did I already have 20 minutes today? Okay, then I'm done now. So it's not going to be zero for real life stuff, but you're also having a handle on it for how far you're going to take the thinking. Also, with real life stuff, it helps if you look at it as, is it even my turn to think about something, right? Like in terms of real life. Say if some situation is happening and you're waiting on somebody else to make a move, or you're waiting on life to make a move, right? Well, then it's not even your turn. Why are you thinking about it? Then it would be zero, right? So those kinds of things. So you're, again, getting a handle on real life stuff as well. So overall, choosing to react With OCD, not at all. With real life, a lot less. Next question. In terms of what the question was, should you lump them all together as one? Yes, because it's all OCD. The theme, specific theme, it's all irrelevant. It doesn't matter what the theme is. It can bring this and that. And this is actually also very important, that if you start to view your OCD as just OCD thoughts and kind of getting maybe a little away from the this is this theme, this is that theme, because that's you getting into the content, right? So if you kind of get away from that and just say, it's all the same, blah, 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 from OCD, not reacting, you're just, that gives you more power back. Next question. This is kind of related, but kind of not. Please tell me about cheating OCD or fear of being cheated by your partner, how to overcome it. Again, track the time. How much time are you thinking about it in the course of a day? Probably a lot. So anytime you're thinking about this topic, it's OCD. It's going as time. Daily, you need to reduce the time. So again, goals. 170 max day one. 160 day two. 150 day three. 18 days, you'll be at zero. Plus minus, there's setbacks, that's normal, but generally it won't take that long if you're on it. And I've seen clients do this where they're so on it every day, no matter what. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Like for me, it's amazing to see this, where people come in and they're in such terrible state, they're falling apart. And I remember looking through their eyes, I remember how I was at that time, and how, you know, everybody knows what 10 out of 10 feels like right now listening to me. And you see them and they get their life back. And I also like when clients, as they start to feel better, so when their rumination and compulsions goes down, they start to develop interests from before, or rediscover interests from before. They're like, maybe I need to do my old hobby, or maybe this, or maybe that. You know, they even getting that thought or getting interest in that already shows, you know, that the person really is getting their life back. Next question. I feel like I'm at the last stage of recovery. I don't even notice the thought. Fantastic. I was doing the recovery 4 months without tracking. It helped, but now I want to end the recovery with tracking because I want the silly OCD thoughts to go away. How can I track the time when I rarely ruminate? I tried, but I don't know how. And thanks. I'm 16 dealing with OCD and it's hard. You're the reason that push me for getting better. So thank you, Mom. I like that. Thank you. You are, of course, very, very welcome. So I find a very good question. So to end the recovery, right, to have yourself fully recovered, at the end, I find that the tracking matters the most. And this is where I usually see clients slow down in tracking rumination, is towards the end of the recovery. To slow down the tracking is towards the end of the recovery, because the person feels like they're fine, that they don't really need to track, everything is okay. But you're kind of leaving that 5 minutes here and there, and if some stressor comes up, this is why OCD can come back. You know, if you leave, basically you kind of cleaned everything up, but you kind of left it on life support. So if you get stressed out later in life, you know, it's not fully cleaned up. And it's a hard balance, because again, I don't want you to be perfectionist about this. I don't want you to get into like it was a second here, a second there. But the tracking will finish the process where, no, I'm not okay with me ruminating for 10 minutes a day. I know I was ruminating for in the entire day, but the 10 minutes a day can easily become the entire day again. So you do have to finish it. And then again, like I said, clean up the rest of the life as well, where you're ruminating about real life stuff, but too much. How to track it? I would say, anything that you're spending your time ruminating about, and a lot of the times it can be about towards the end, one of the last themes people have usually is about OCD recovery. Somebody on the internet said you can't recover, or am I tracking it correctly? What if I'm not tracking it correctly and I won't recover? So all those ruminations they will count as time, okay? So, or anything in life that you're ruminating about. So look very carefully what you spent your time, say today, right? What you spent your time thinking about. And I would say whether it's real life OCD or about OCD recovery, just add it to the tracking because you're feeding it somewhere. Maybe you're avoiding something still. And maybe you're doing some kind of like, you know, less obvious compulsions. Really examine where are you feeding these thoughts? What are you still afraid of? What are you still doing that keeps OCD going? It's probably not very big, but a lot of the times it's OCD about OCD or fear of having the anxiety. You know, a lot of the times that feeling, fear of having the feeling of anxiety. Next question. How do I start tracking? I have contamination OCD and it is severe to the point that I don't even see these compulsions as compulsions. They become daily routine rituals, like I'm supposed to do them. Hence, I'm cleaning all day long. I'm no longer able to differentiate between normal cleaning and excessive cleaning. Please help. So, I would say you need to write out everything that you're doing. You know, when I have clients who come in with severe contamination OCD, and I've had quite a few clients with severe contamination OCD over the years, over the 12 years of me doing this, the best idea is to have a list, a full list written out of everything that you're doing, and have a number out of 10 towards how high the level of anxiety is right now for you for this specific thing. And then start knocking out the lowest things. So things that are not as severe, try to knock them out. And again, with the tracking, you have a handle on how many compulsions I did. Either there's a few ways to kind of go about it. You can do how many compulsions did I do in the course of 3 hours and reducing that way, but using the list. So say if you did, 30 compulsions in the 3 hour period. Well, some of them I'm sure were below 7 out of 10 anxiety level. 7 out of 10 seems to be the max that people can handle in choosing to disregard. So past 7, they're not able to disregard. They're going to do the compulsion or they're going to ruminate. So, but if something is like a 5 out of 10, consider not doing it or consider not doing it perfectly. There, with physical compulsions, there just needs to be a daily reduction. So you have a list and start taking things off of that list. I've done this with so many clients over the years. I'm telling you, this works. Another trick with contamination OCD that you can do. This works really, really well. I probably, again, should make another video on it if I remember. So let's say, for example, you are washing your hands. And you wash this way, that way, you have this whole routine. And then at the end, you wash one more time just to make sure. Well, that one more time is probably not very anxiety producing if you don't get a chance to do that because you know you've had the whole routine before then. So that one is, it's like an add-on, it's extra. So when you are taking things away from a ritual, I suggest, and this seems to work well, to take things from the end rather than from the beginning, because in the beginning, whatever you're doing, it's at the its most dirtiest. It's not really, but it feels like that to you, right? So, but towards the end, it's like, well, I'll just rinse one more time, or I'll just check one more time. That you can reduce, and starting there sometimes works very well with clients. Hi Ali, with Puro, what is the best way to keep track? I do suffer from a lot of mental compulsions, repeating things. I find it hard to track. The rumination is a little easier to track as I can put a time frame on it. Thanks in advance. So with mental compulsions where you are repeating something, so technically it's rumination, but it's also repetition, I would count those as compulsions. So you say, like I would count them as physical compulsions. So you would say, I'm going to reduce and I'm going to have a max repetition of this number. Or so basically setting rules that are a little bit more restrictive than what you were doing before. So say if you were repeating things certain number of times, try to reduce by one. Or in certain situations, if that's too much, then in certain situations, you're going to reduce. Or maybe in certain situations, you're going to eliminate. So it's basically whatever you can do to reduce. But guys, the big thing with all of this reduction is that you cannot, I would say, except for maybe very not often situations, but generally, you cannot take days off. This is the one pitfall I do see is when a person takes one day off, then 2 days off, then 3 days off, they get off track. So this tracking, it's every day. And when you get to 0 to 0.5 minutes in each time period, so like pretty much none, you still need to track. I have a lot of clients who are sending me pretty much zeros for every time period because they know that they need to cement their recovery. And also they're working on things just in general life to reduce. But it's this tracking, just take a, I would say track for 2 months, you know, it's 60 days. It's just a few seconds to remember how much time you ruminated or how many compulsions you did. It's not the end of the world. You're getting your life back. It's more than worth it. And, you know, in terms of the app, this is why we've designed the app. So then you can take a look at everything that you're doing and have a actual track record of, look, you know, this is how I'm doing. And, you know, I can tell you, your self-esteem goes up tremendously. Because with OCD, the one thing is it takes down your self-esteem because you're like, oh, but I don't feel good and I can't overcome this and all of this. But when you start to actually overcome it and you see it on a piece of paper, you're like, yep, that's me. I did that. I pushed through. Look at my numbers. That was not easy and I did it. And you develop a sense of pride, which makes your self-esteem go up. So it's important to do this. I know that it seems that tracking is time-consuming, but it's really not. It's just seconds every 3 hours. And if you feel like you're forgetting, set notifications up on your phone that just pops up a notification reminding you to track. If you're not really techie, put a post-it note where you can see it to remember to track. You can do this. And the other thing is with OCD, nobody can do the recovery work for you. So it really is up to you to do this and to push through. And you absolutely can. Like I said, I see people start at 10 out of 10, 180 minutes every time period. So 3 hours out of 3 hours every time period, and they're recovering. So I'm telling you, entirely, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, just do this. You will not regret it. You really won't. Next question. Hi, Ali. Just wanted to know if reacting with fear to a physical sensation is a compulsion. I'm going to start tracking now. Also, can thinking about a physical sensation count as rumination? So first part. Reacting with fear to a physical sensation, is it a compulsion? I think the initial reaction you really can't prevent because it comes in with anxiety. So very important. We're not tracking how many times the thought comes in or how much time the thought comes in for because that's beyond your control. We're only tracking your reaction. So thought comes in, what if something bad is going to happen? And then that's so far zero. But if you're like, let me sit down and really analyze this. Let me Google. Let me ask people. Now that's timing. So we're tracking only how much time you are actively feeding the thought. So when you initially react with fear, no, it doesn't count. As long as you can refuse to analyze it or refuse to do any action. If you didn't refuse to analyze and if you didn't refuse to do any action, how long did you ruminate for and how many actions did you do, right? So that's what you would be tracking. So, and the second part to it, since I cut down the compulsions, but the sensations are still coming in. Okay, so this is also important. Your job is to cut down rumination and compulsions, and the anxiety will start reduce. But the anxiety reduction kind of trails what you are doing. It comes after. So it's not like the second you stop doing compulsions or ruminate, the anxiety will go down. It's going to take a little bit of time to adjust. So don't really spend a lot of time examining how you feel, because that can become OCD in itself. I call it the are we there OCD, where the person constantly keeps looking back. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And that can stall your recovery massively. So just focus on your actions. If you're doing correct actions, meaning disregarding, the numbers are going down. They're not going to go down to zero. A lot of times, it's another misconception. People will say, well, I can do it's all or nothing. I'm just going to stop everything. Literally, in 12 years, never seen anybody stop everything all at once. It's always gradual. Sometimes it's fast, but gradual. Sometimes it's really slow, but gradual. But it doesn't happen, but you could just stop. You're setting yourself up for disappointment, where if you tried that, didn't work, well, I guess I can't recover. That's not how it works. It's little by little, because the brain needs to adjust. Next question. Why is it easier to disregard on most days, but a little harder on some days? Good question. A lot of the times people will say specifically on days such as weekends, holidays, when something important is going on, the anxiety goes up, because your brain sees stress as just stress in a group sense, right? So real life, OCD, it doesn't care. It doesn't know the difference. It's just lumping it all together. So if you're stressed out in real life, your OCD will come knocking. So this is what I say, that it's important to reduce stress. Not to a zero. If you live a very active, very stressful lifestyle, and that's how you want to live, then you need to acclimate and habituate to that little by little. And that's fine. I have a lot of clients who are in that position. It's not a problem, but it becomes a problem if you, again, I have a lot of clients who do this, where people will, after they start to feel better, up their level of productivity, because they're excited about life, or because they want to make up for lost time. It's not a good idea. You know, you have to let the brain heal. So it's little bit by little bit. So take notice on what days are harder, and try to see why are they harder. Like, for example, for the weekend, a lot of the times clients would tell me, maybe that was more pre-COVID, but whatever. But they would tell me, well, I have everybody's home for the weekend, like home from work and school, and I feel pressure to be more present with everybody. So because of that pressure, I feel like I can't fail, I need to feel good, and that's when OCD thoughts come in. So it's, a lot of the times it's pressure. And in those situations also, I wanted to say, so if you do feel like that, that you feel like it's the pressure that's making you worse, try to put less importance on it, that it's going to be how it's going to be. Not a big deal. It is what it is, kind of thing. So if you reduce the pressure and allow yourself to feel however you feel, because you're in the stage of healing, you will feel a shift. How to track time, I've already talked about it earlier, but again, I want to point out the two most important things. You're tracking in the way of reducing daily, not in the way of just keeping a log. And what you're tracking is your response, not the thoughts coming in. So the thoughts coming in are automatic. We're not tracking that. What is the best way to start tracking? I'm in the first stage of OCD recovery from false memory. So with false memory, you need to reduce the rumination, right? And then depending on the situation, also compulsions of checking and so on. So the apps available on the iPhone, if you want to use the app, it's just kind of just jumping into it, right? It's just starting to track whatever time period you're on. Start there. You'll have a log of the rest of the day, then the next day, and so on and so forth. Don't put it off, because the further you put it off, then it's like, you know, the diet starts tomorrow. It just never happens. So just start tracking. You will start to feel the difference. Even if you do this, especially if you really reduce from yesterday's time periods, right? So really keeping down the to reducing from yesterday's numbers, I swear, in a week, you will start to feel better. In a week. So it's not, you will not regret it. Hi, Ali. Should I track mental and physical compulsions at the same time? I have self-harm and suicidal OCD, so every time I'm triggered, I get the urge to do a compulsion and ruminate. And somehow I find it less hard to track physical compulsions only, and I try to reduce them first, then track the mental ones, if that makes sense. I would track them all as the same, because it's kind of, I think if you kind of separate them, that like this is my mental compulsions, that's my physical compulsions, it seems like it will take longer rather than I just need to reduce and lumping it all together, however it comes in. But yeah, I would track it all as one, basically. When tracking compulsions, is it important to track mental compulsions as well? I have bureau, so most of my compulsions are mental. Should I track how often I do ERP? Yes, when tracking compulsions, just like I was saying in the previous question, yes, you need to track all compulsions, mental or physical, doesn't matter. So it's your call whether you call a thought a compulsion, or is it rumination? If you're repeating things in your mind, that would be a compulsion. Or if you have to say something, say a phrase, that's a compulsion. If you're just trying to figure something out, that's rumination. But it will be your call what to call what. Either way, you have to reduce. Should I track how often you do ERP? This is very important. So with this program, and the reason why this method, my method, works so well is because you are doing ERP the entire day. So you woke up, first time period, welcome to your recovery. Wake up to 9 a.m. How much did you ruminate? Put the number down. Next time period, 9 to 12. You know, let's see how you did there. And it becomes like a game where you're always trying to get better numbers than before, than yesterday. So it becomes, I see quite a few clients kind of get into gamesmanship of this whole thing and really actually do try to beat the clock, not just from a position of I want to recover, but it actually becomes interesting. So ERP is what you're doing all day. You're all day trying to disregard. If you're doing on purpose exposures, in my personal program, unless it's situations such as driving OCD where it all kind of rests on ERP, on purpose exposure, where you do have to on purpose sit down and drive specifically for OCD, right? For example, or other situation where it's not something you have all day coming in. That's different. But for most people, their OCD thoughts are with them all day. So you're in ERP all day. And all of this additional ERP on purpose exposures, they're an addition, they're extra. So I do think that you should continue to do them. If you're doing them, continue to do them. But focus on what you're doing every moment of the day as your first priority, because that's what is feeding most of your OCD. Again, unless you have OCD that only comes up in specific situations, and in that case, it's different. If that's your situation, I would just do ERP. I wouldn't track it. Just stick with it, with the on-purpose exposures. Next question. I'm having trouble accurately recording the time I spent ruminating because the rumination is often so automatic and constant to the point where I can't always differentiate. I'll also try to disregard the thoughts, but it's like my brain is on autopilot and can't ignore no matter how hard I try, which leads me to not being able to tell if I'm continuing to ruminate or not. Is there a way to do this where I can determine better what is what, so the time recordings are more accurate? And another person said, exactly my problem. I have asked this question on other channels like this one, but nobody answers. Okay, so I would say anything that has to do with your theme is OCD. So it would count as rumination. For example, if you have harm OCD, are you becoming a criminologist? No. Are you becoming a police officer? Also, no. Then you don't need to think about anything harm related. So same thing goes for contamination. Same goes for HOCD. So this topic in every way is entirely off limits. If you are ruminating about OCD, process of recovery, researching something, you know, about anything to do with OCD beyond what you actually need to know to understand how OCD works, right? But it's becoming very in-depth, also OCD. So try to look at it in a very simplistic way, that anything to do with this theme, would you normally think about anything to do with this theme? If yes, then in what specific situations do you need to think about it? If it's just to solve something, figure it out, it's always going to be OCD. So, for example, for a person with harm OCD, anytime I'm thinking about anything harm, I'm ruminating, it counts as rumination. Or HOCD, or again, contamination, or religious OCD, or whatever. So, but this is actually a good example. So, for example, religious OCD, person will say, well, I am religious. So I do want to think about my religion. Okay, how much do you want to think about your religion, right? They'll say an hour a day. Okay, then anything over an hour a day we count as rumination. And I'm just giving an hour a day as an example, right? So if it's something that also connects to real life situation, then what would be the normal for you if you didn't have OCD? And if you don't know what the normal would be for you, ask somebody who is around you, and then they can give you an approximate number, and then don't go beyond that number. But if it's something like harm OCD or something like quite removed from you, then it would be zero. So anytime you're thinking about it, it counts as OCD. Next question. What is the main purpose of tracking the time you spend on rumination? It has something to do with recovery. So I've kind of explained it, but I will again. So the rumination, or the tracking rumination time, or tracking the compulsion, gives you a handle on how much you are actually doing it and the starting point from which to reduce. So you're tracking day one. Day one is just to get an understanding, right? So you track day one, you know, oh my God, I'm ruminating actually quite a bit. First comes the shock of how much you're actually ruminating, or how many compulsions you're actually doing. This is what I see with clients over and over again. So we face the problem in all of its ways. And now, next day, we're reducing. If you don't even know how much you're ruminating, if you don't even know how many compulsions you're doing, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to get a handle on it. So it's, again, going back to the diet analogy, where if you know the breakdown of how many calories you're allowed to eat in order to lose weight and how much weight you will approximately lose, it's a lot better way to go than just saying, well, I'm just on a diet. I'm just trying not to ruminate. I mean, you can see it's just logical, right? Next question. Can we get the tracking app on Android? I've had this question for a long time. I know, and we've been doing this app for a long time on Android. They're saying to me that it's coming out next week for the Android. Things get delayed, but I'm optimistic. So I am really hoping that next week we will have the Android app. Yes. As soon as I have it, I will post it here on the channel. But we do have it for the iPhone. Do you have time to track even if the thoughts are only coming in week? Or do you have to track if the thoughts are only coming in a week and not as frequently as they were? I am in the third stage of recovery, and I wonder if I still have to track the time. Thank you. Same question. I find the same thing. I have tried several times, but I end up forgetting to do it. You know, I've kind of talked about it a little bit earlier on. I personally think it's really important to do the time tracking at the end, because I don't want you to leave a little bit OCD behind, where you're generally fine, you're doing okay, but you have this little thing that comes in and sometimes you think about it, because in a stressful situation, that little thing can grow huge. And if you don't have a handle, it's kind of like, well, I want to be at, like, for example, again, comparing to a diet, I want to be at my ideal body shape, but that that donut that I eat every day, you know, and then you continue to eat it and you never get there. And then one day you ate quite a few donuts and then that became a routine and bam, you are where you started, you know, before you started to lose weight, right? So this is all very familiar to all of us, I'm sure. So this is why I do prefer you finish the process. At the end, what I suggest is to also add everyday life stuff into it. So how much, say you got into an argument with somebody, how much are you ruminating about that? Or something is not going right with work or at home, how much are you ruminating about that? So if it's too much, put it on a tracker, right? And with the real life stuff, like I said, have a goal number of, okay, this is real. I want to ideally think about it for, say, 5 minutes a day. So 5 minutes a day, you allow yourself, and then everything beyond that is OCD. So kind of step one, again, getting out of the OCD house. Step two, getting off of the OCD territory, off of the property, not being sensitive about real life stuff, not getting caught up on anything, because that's the prerequisite to getting back into the OCD house, and you don't want that. Seamstress, special thank you for helping on the forum. I see you and I am so appreciative of all the work that you're doing. Helmet, you know who you are. Also, thank you so, so much, guys. It's, you know, people are coming in on the forum and they're asking questions and they're in need of help. And you guys have been so helpful. Thank you so much. Next question. Can you recover without time tracking? Also, is rumination part of compulsions, as my theme is repeating words? I would say if it's repeating words in your mind or out loud, I would count it as a compulsion rather as rumination. The reason why I would count it as a compulsion rather than rumination is because if you count it as rumination, it might be like a minute. But if you count it as a compulsion, it might be in that minute you said it 100 times, right? So it's a very important minute to get rid of. I'm just giving an example. And then can you recover without doing time tracking? Well, I can tell you that can you recover in 18, or can you feel like you're recovered? You're not really recovered in 18 days, but you feel like you're recovered and you're ruminating on zero in 18 days? No. Remember what I was saying earlier in the video, to go from, if you have in each time period 180 minutes and you go down to zero, reducing by 10 each day and sticking to the schedule, it would take 18 days to reduce to zero. If day one, you have a goal, 170, then 160, 150 as the days go on, right? I don't think you can do that speed without tracking. Or it's going to be very long to, not or, and it would take very long to fully recover from that last little bit, like how people are asking, what do I do towards the end of the recovery? Do I need to track? That little bit will hang around for a lot longer if you don't get a handle on it. Generally, yeah, you can recover without time tracking, but it's the speed difference is unbelievable. Next question. Does rumination last for the whole is rumination lasts for the whole day, but with small breaks? How do I decrease the time it consumes? The small breaks in between aren't enough, and I have a constant headache. I'm going to do a separate video on it, but if you are in a situation where you are 3 hours out of 3 hours, you're not doing well, you can't seem to get a handle on it, I would say try to do these exercises where for 5 minutes, thoughts are going to come in, but you will not ruminate. You will delay for 5 minutes all rumination. So again, I'm going to call somebody and talk to them about something non-OCD related or do some sort of a task. But for this 5 minutes, I'm not ruminating. I'm doing something else. Get more acclimated, more habituated to that, to the delaying, right? Then a little bit more, a little bit more. So you are training your brain to delay. Once you have more of a handle on it, then you can better do the time tracking. So this is the very first stage. I promise you, you can do this. It gets better from here. Don't feel discouraged. I think a lot of people, if not most, have been in that situation where you know, it's difficult, but how you're saying the small breaks in between aren't enough, and I have a constant headache. So don't wait for the break to happen by itself. You need to make the break. So you need to get control over your recovery. Don't wait for recovery. And I might be reading too much into your question, but it sounds like you're waiting for recovery to happen to you, and you need to grab a hold of it and really focus on reducing those numbers, you know? So it's like 5 minutes, no matter what, I'm not ruminating. Let's go. Get the timer. Let's go. And you don't have to walk around with a timer or anything like that. Again, it doesn't have to be exact, but I want you to do that exercise as many times a day as you can handle it. Because again, this is your recovery. The more you do towards your recovery, the faster you recover. I hope this answers questions. I will do a Q&A maybe in a few weeks again, because I'm telling you, I know I kind of go on and on with the tracking, but this really is the best way to recover. This is how you can get out of it in the shortest amount of time possible. So this is why I recommend it, because right now, from everything I see, and I talk to people all around the world, so I see how their therapists are doing recovery work, you know, how different methods, and I'm telling you, out of everything I've seen, this is, and I'm not saying it because it's mine, I'm telling you guys because I've had severe OCD, couldn't leave the house. And if I had this when I was doing recovery, because I was doing recovery like just, you know, one step forward, one step back, it took such a long time. If I had this method, I would grab it with both hands because it makes recovery so much faster. I mean, I was at it for years. This is 18 days. This is condensed. And you don't have to suffer for years like I've suffered. So I'm telling you, this works. I hope you use it. If you have questions, please let me know below any of the videos, and I'll do another Q&A very shortly. I am answering questions on the forum as well, if you want to pop in there and see the rest of us there. Thank you so much for watching. I will be back tomorrow with another video. If you would like to do recovery program with me, all the information, as always, as well as the forum, as well as everything else, is on youhaveocd.com. I'll see you there.